You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about how co-parents can help their children manage the challenges of living in two homes. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage. And today, as always, when we come out on Fridays, I've got a guest with us who is got a great story to tell. I'll just say that for now. So first off, I want to welcome Fiona Kong to Live, Love, Engage.
Hi, Gloria. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am delighted to have you on because we've been talking about parenting on this show. And, you know, and it's part of being a parent is certainly one of the ways that you can, that you need to learn how to engage authentically with your children. So where my live, love, engage part comes in. But let me tell our listeners out there and viewers just why I decided to have you on. So Fiona is a single mom to a five-year-old boy. Is he still five? Hasn't had a birthday in between since we last connected. All right. And she's a former analyst, worked for Verizon Media and Yahoo. And now she's a turned dreamer, doer, small business owner. And after finding a lack of tools to support children living in two homes, she decided to write a book called Home Sweet Homes, which is a unique reference guide, teaching tool, and memory book that helps co-parents and children through the challenges stemming from divorce and separation. And I know that I was going to look up the statistics for how many families are get divorced every year. And I don't know if you happen to know that, Fiona, but it's a lot. I know that. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, really what really prompted you to undertake writing a book, because writing a book is not for the faint of heart. It does take some determination and intuitiveness to be able to get it done. So what prompted that for you?
Funny, because I didn't set out to like create anything. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go write something. No. When my partner and I split up, it was just, you know, a really hard time that where I was like, I need to really do all that I can to support my son. And, you know, when you look for tools and resources online, you know, I feel like everything was geared towards the adults. There's apps, there's books, there's, you know, workshops, things like that, but not a whole lot created for the actual, you know, the actual kids. Mm. And so I was really surprised. And I was like, you know, I just felt like unsettled and unsatisfied with, you know, my son going back and forth between homes and just a lack of communication and information going on. So I was just kind of like, what would it even look like? What would I even need to do to create something to help him? And as I said, I wasn't even like, it wasn't like a clear, like, oh, I'm going to create this. I was just happened to be at like the store and I found this little planner. It was like $1 and I bought it. And I asked my co-parent, I was like, hey, would you be willing to write in like a little summary of like what happens at your house and what happens, you know, we would just exchange it back and forth. So that's actually how it started. And, you know, the first time I got it back, it was like being able to read about what my son was doing, because he was like 4 at that time and he still wasn't communicating, you know, he couldn't tell me like what was happening. So to read about it from my co-parent's perspective, you know, just to have like a frame of reference and like be a part of his life, it was helpful in many different ways. So that's really what kind of started it. And then I was like, oh, well, what if I added in, you know, things that would be more helpful to him, you know, like how he feels every day and affirmations, and like contacts at the end, because, you know, most times parents don't have like the same contact information, like emergency, you know, contact information. So it just evolved into like this, what started off as small evolved. I was like, okay, I need this and I need this. So, and now we have, it's like a 276 page book.
That's a, so it really sounds like it's really for everyone in the family then to use. I mean, it's a tool, it's something for the kids certainly, but it's also something for then the parents, especially when you say when you've got younger children who aren't you know, able to communicate as well, and certainly even probably need help even expressing their feelings, that this is something that the parent can help them with.
Yes. I mean, definitely the priority is like, this book is for your child. It's not, you know, it does help, you know, mom, whoever the parents are, dad, mom, whatever the combination is. But, you know, because it stays with the child as they go back and forth, because my son uses it. He's like, where am I going? You know, where am I going to be on tomorrow? And so it's with him, you know, instead of it being a calendar on my refrigerator, which may not be at dad's house, you know, this stays with him. And it's one of the few things that he has that has stuff from mom and dad. And it's really special.
Wow. That's really cool. Did you, in the process of creating this, were there things that you learned that you were like, oh, we didn't really need this, or, oh, I wished I had put this in at the beginning. This would have been so helpful.
Oh my God. When I think about creating it, it was, you know, like I went to stores and I looked at journals and I looked at planners. So I feel like I kind of made it the way I wanted it. But I feel like now that it's just started going out to homes, I'll be getting feedback from others and, you know, I'll be able to change it and tailor it. But for now, I feel like it's great. I feel like I would have liked more blank pages, because my son uses it a lot to draw, and I create like a little scrapbook at the end of each month. So definitely more blank pages for the kids. It's like, it would have been great.
Is there an ideal age for this to go from, you know, for kids, do you think?
So we started at 4. So I think that's kind of like the earliest you'd be able to start with having a kid participate. I think it could still be used, you know, for little kids. Obviously, you just wouldn't, you know, with, you know, parents just writing in it. I think it still is helpful in that sense. Mm-hmm. But it really grows with a child, because right now my son, you know, he's 5. He can only write, you know, his name and a few words. but, you know, he's really learning. I see it. You know, he dates the count. It's an undated planner. So that lasts for a year. Mm-hmm. So he is writing in all the dates for the calendar, and it's really helped him, you know, learn all, you know, like time and schedule. So I would say 4 is the earliest. 5 is perfect start. And then, you know, as he grows older, he's going to be writing a lot more in it, and we're going to be doing less, but I still want it to be for our family. I still want both of, you know, his dad and I to participate, because I think it's important that we all have something shared for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, it sounds like you're, you know, your co-partner, as it were, in this was, you know, willing and able to come on board. So what happens though in a situation where maybe, you know, because a lot of times when people split up, there's a lot of rancor, even though they still want to be able to do what's best for the kids, you know, you hear stories about, you know, the, you know, one parent is bad mouthing the other parent, and, you know, and the poor child is caught in the middle. How would you, do you have any advice in that case for how to be able to enroll the other parent in this?
Yeah, that's tough, because, you know, I don't have that situation where we're not, you know, we don't have any issues. But I do recognize that it can be very triggering, or, you know, hard when parents have you know, if what if you say something that the other parent's really sensitive to? So I think first and foremost, I actually did write a blog post on my website about like guidelines, and there's some for like general and some for the parents that kind of go through, you know, like just, you know, the mindset of, you know, what's having a healthy mindset when you go into this, like knowing that it's for your child, but recognizing if this is too stressful, if it's too triggering, there are other ways to go about it. Like I was like, if you, you know, knowing what goes on at like your parent at the other parent's house is like, you know, if they have a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, that can be very like, oh, you know, like, I don't want to hear about that. So one of the workarounds I have is like, you can just have your child answer like journal prompts, like instead of writing about what happened in the day, you know, there's certain questions like, you know, why is the sky blue? Or like answer, like just have answer questions, you know, and it can still be a creative use of using the journal, but without divulging what's going on, you know, in each other's household.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said that you're starting to get this out to other people. Were you able to, maybe even before launching it officially, were you able to get, you know, sort of like a focus group, maybe some of your friends or something to be able to give you any feedback on it?
Funny you ask, because that's actually what I used to do for work. I was in research. And so the answer should be yes, I should have done more research, but I didn't do it as much as I would have wanted to. I didn't have the community. I think when I was just starting out, like, you know, you're looking for it, but you know, it's hard to, you know, I didn't really have a lot of people to ask. I did ask a few people and I did get some feedback. It was sort of limited, but I felt like it was something that really helped my family. And that's why I was like, okay, I feel like I feel comfortable enough creating it, with some feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like this is, you know, this is your first foray into doing something like this, you know, creating a product and stuff. And I know that there's, you know, people out there who are listening, who possibly might be in a similar situation where they have an idea for something and they want to be able to, you know, launch it, get it out in the marketplace. Is there, what have you learned so far? Because I know you're still early on in your journey about this, you know, process of, you know, creating something, and then, you know, you had to obviously get it published, and what sort of lessons have you learned? Maybe let's start off with maybe some of the good things, and then maybe some of the mistakes maybe that you've made that you can help people avoid.
Yes. The good things, first of all, a lot of what I created was based off a need that I had from my childhood. Like, I wasn't raised in a household where I was encouraged and, you know, really supported and, you know, talked up and, you know, all these things. So when I was writing the affirmations in this book, like each month starts with the affirmation, I was like, wow, you know, these really helped me too. You know, being a single mom, being an entrepreneur, the last one in the book is I believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, if I didn't believe in myself to begin with, there's no way I would have made it to the end, because it was a long, hard journey. Like, you know, when you're in the weeds and you're working day and night and on weekends, like to get your whatever it is you need to get done, if you don't believe in yourself, it's not going to happen. So I think, you know, what having that belief in yourself and, you know, finding the right tools, because as I said, I didn't come from a household where I was encouraged. It was actually kind of the opposite, where it was emotionally abusive. And so I started this new routine where it's like every morning, in addition to meditation, I listen to like a lot of motivational talks, like while I'm brushing my teeth, while I'm doing the dishes, because if I hear it all the time, it starts becoming your language.
Absolutely. And
yeah, it was such a needed thing in my life at the right time. And so I would really highly suggest, like, I just go on YouTube, I find a video, like a motivational talk, and that's what I listen to get my day started every single day.
Mm. Very good advice. Yeah, because it really does make a difference, because you have to retrain your brain. A lot of times when, you know, if you've if you have like grown up in a situation where you had less than supportive family members, shall we say, and then you go out into the world and you've got these limiting beliefs. So thank goodness that we live in a day and age where we are right now, where we have these things at our fingertips on our phones. We can pull them up. And I do similar things in the morning. I either something motivational, or sometimes I just like to start my morning with a laugh and I'll find something funny just to be able to get myself in a good mood for the day as well. Wow. Were there any things that you've, you know, learned, you know, maybe some rookie mistakes that you made at the beginning that you're like, if I'd known now, you know, when I started this, I wish I could have not done that, that might help someone else in that situation.
Oh my gosh. It is so hard because like everything, every step is so hard, right? Like, you're learning all these different things. Everything is hard. And, I guess just, you know, one, have a great planner for one. Like I actually have a time block and it plans out my day by hour, you know, and by every half an hour, it's like the passion planner. And it's fantastic because I was like, if you're just kind of starting your day, just going into it, it's like, that is the worst thing you can do. And it's like, I'm the type of person that like, can work on something, you know, till it's like perfect, till it's perfect, you know, and then all of a sudden, 4 hours have passed. So yeah, I think just really being, stopping, rethinking how you're working sometimes instead of just getting into it. I think that's always the best
way to do thing. For sure. And I think, that is one trap I think sometimes that entrepreneurs get into, is that they want it to be perfect and they keep at it until it's perfect. It's never going to be perfect. You want it to be good so that you can sell it and then you can always revise it later.
Yeah. There was a mistake on the final print. And I'm like, you know, we just got to go with it. Pretty good to do.
Absolutely. Oh, please. There are so many. I mean, I've seen famous people with like books and things where there's typos in the book. So
it's painful, but yeah, you know, it's
okay. You can fix it the next time. It's all good. Speaking of the next time, so I know you're in the middle of doing this. Do you have any plans for maybe a follow-up to this, or do you just want to continue to, you know, just kind of work this and revise it and improve it each time? What's your thoughts?
Both. I definitely revise and improve. But, you know, this first version, it's like, I feel like, you know, I will always love this first version. But I think there's opportunities for, as I said, we were talking about like for littles, like 0 to 3, mm-hmm. I would take out some of the more interactive activities in here and different just artwork. I feel like because there are multiple kids and families. So I feel like I have so many ideas, like so many, you know, making stickers and things like that, but I just can't execute. You know, I just want to get this one, you know, and make sure people are happy with it, because really at the end of the day, I want them to feel connected to their parents. I want them to feel loved. I feel like I want them to love this book and feel like this has changed my life and is helping me in my two homes. Like, you know, everything else, I don't care about the artwork. I feel I want the kid to, you know, I really want to help them. Yeah. It's the bottom line.
Absolutely. And for those of you watching on YouTube, can you just hold the book up so we get to see all of it? Because I think we've only seen a little part of it. There it is. So it says Home Sweet Homes. And it's a lovely, as it says there, a journal and planner for co-parent and child. I like that. I'm trying to think, like, what else do you think would be as important for like a, let's just say in general for co-parenting, you know, that you're in, what advice would you have for someone who is, you know, maybe they've realized they're going to have to split, and they're going to be doing this. So what are some things particularly have you found that is maybe helpful, that's helped you, and your family?
Yeah. Honestly, one of the first things I did was, you know, my son aside, was like working on myself, because I realized, you know, there was still stuff from my childhood that, this is may be sounding strange, but in a roundabout way, but if you haven't dealt with stuff from your childhood, it ends up being pushed onto your child, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just having this emotional awareness, you know, we're pushing this on our children, but it's like, what about yourself? Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, talking to someone, whether I just feel like in this day and age, I love that we're being encouraged to share our feelings and talk about it when we haven't done so in the past. So I sat and I thought about all the stuff that, what made me, you know, from my childhood. And I was like, oh, this is kind of how I, you know, I realized what I was doing, how I was acting towards my son. So that was one piece. But then, you know, the piece of working with your, you know, my partner, he's still my partner forever. Yeah. we talk every time my son switches home. So, you know, we try to set up the best system where we are very open with each other. We, you know, as I said, we had a face-to-face this morning, you know, and that's the kind of relationship I actually, when we split up, we had a very, it wasn't terrible, but it was very like business-like. We weren't at the level we were now, but there was one day I said to myself, you know, we're going to have to do this forever. I don't want our relationship to be like this. I think we can do better. So I called him. I apologized for, you know, just stuff that had been weighing on me. And he was like, I wanted to have called you for so long too. And it was like, you know, this level of maturity, I guess, and like, you know, just in a relationship where it's like, hey, this is not about us. This is, we need to, in order to help our son, we do need to come together. And it's not easy. I must say, you have to be vulnerable. You have to put yourself out there, and it can feel really terrible. It can, you know, it's not easy to talk about this stuff if you haven't done it a lot before. So I listen to like Brené Brown a lot, and she talks about vulnerability. And I think that's, if anyone is listening that is, you know, listen to her talks, because I think that's really helped me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one. I love her TED talk about vulnerability. It is so powerful. You know, I'm curious, and I know I think a lot of us do still, whatever way we grow up, we do sometimes bring in that baggage. But I was just wondering, is there anything culturally for you that maybe also sort of, I don't know, added to that baggage, unfortunately, that you kind of brought with you, do you think?
Sorry, could I just clarify a question? Like, did you mean?
Just was there anything in particular? Because obviously you are Asian. For those of you who are not watching, okay, and of course I don't know what the politically correct term is. I don't know what what your background is, but you definitely, you know, that's how you appear. So I'm just wondering, is there, you know, we hear, you know, stereotypes about different cultures and things. So I was just curious to know if there was anything that you felt contributed or didn't contribute, you know?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. No, I'm glad we can talk about this, because, you know, I don't ever want it to be like a thought that, you know, I'm very like, I'm Chinese. I was born in America. I don't know Chinese or anything. I'm very American. But my father, he was, born in China. And yeah, I feel like there are a lot of stereotypes where like the males are very, what's the word? I'm trying to use the appropriate word, but he was very harsh. And, I think it was generational, you know, where he was treated, you know, he grew up in a very poor family, abusive and passed down. So I am aware that it is common, and it's not all families, it's not all Asian families, but it was, you know, what you hear about the stereotypes. My mom was she was quiet and she, you know, so it was the stereotypical like household. And
it is interesting. And what I wanted to bring out about that is that I also feel that there's also still a lot of commonalities in that it's not necessarily a stereotype, or that it's not necessarily related to just the way the culture that you were brought up in, that it can be white, black, European, everything, because I would say in my family, so my grandmother was born in Hungary. Now my father's family goes back to like England and stuff, but they lived in America for a long time, several generations. Whereas my mom was a first generation American. So my dad was the quiet person. My mom was more of the disciplinarian, very vocal, abusive as well. And then my dad was an alcoholic. So not the best childhood to grow up in either. And also, and now I have a dog barking. I'm going to mute for one quick sec. Oh, well, you're just going to have to hear the dog barking. I don't know why she's so upset. But anyway, that's sort of the things that I grew up with. And I had to learn how to, deal with. And in my parenting as well, one thing I wanted to not be was abusive. And the one time I got really upset with my son, one thing I did differently was I apologized afterwards, which was something my mother never did. And so I at least felt that, okay, I screwed up, but at least I owned up to it. So there's hope, I think, you know, as long as we can continue to do better, improve upon how we were raised.
No, I've been there and apologized too. So I love that you said that because, you know, at least the recognition is so important and trying to change it, the behavior. So I think I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, and it's not easy in the best of times, and certainly, and I know definitely being a single mom, I was a single mom for a few months when I took a job, so I have great respect for you, and because it is not an easy job, I don't, it's so much easier with another parent, and at the same time, if you're not working together, then your son most likely is going to be so much better off because you decided to split up. Because now he does have two parents who are showing him love because they can do so without having that added tension of, you know, being together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what other advice maybe would you have? Again, that, you know, since you're still in the middle of this, still actually even fairly new at this process of raising a child and separately, is there anything else that you found that, something that has happened that you could say, yeah, this is, if you can do this, it might help?
In regards to the book or just co-parenting?
Either or.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I would say, let's start with the book. I just feel like this really, I've actually started getting feedback from, you know, parents and children. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I see the parents and they're writing to me and they say, you know, but I'm not sure if, hate to sound stereotypical again, but dad, I'm not sure if dad will participate. Okay. And we just talked about how great it is to have both parents, you know, involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now society, we're talking about just having more gender equality. And I just want to say for the dads out there, you know, like this is such a great way for them to be involved, have this book, because mm-hmm. men generally just are not as expressive or, like even writing down, you know, and talking about feelings. But I feel like that all needs to change, you know, and I think helping, especially little boys mm-hmm. do this my little boy, you know, where he's like, he sits at night, every night recircles his feelings and he talks about what made him sad or what made him angry. I'm like, this is why I want to get, especially for little boys. I'm like, oh, please use that. Like, I would love to have all these little boys use it because I think it can help change, you know, just, you know, when they say kids come from broken homes, you know, from divorce, it's like, well, you can't change that, but this can make it better.
Mm, absolutely. And you know what? That's a term we should get rid of. Now that I think about it, you know, because it implies that something's wrong with it, you know, and it's just, you come from separate homes. That's all, you know, but I love that you're so right to be able to have boys in particular, but even girls still, to be able to acknowledge their feelings and to have even the parents validate them is so important. Because I have a friend who is very, this is her passion as well, is teaching kids to be able to talk about their feelings because it's going to help them as they get older. It's so important to be able to do that. So I'm so glad that you put that in there and helping kids that way. Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't? Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Gosh, anything you should have asked me? I mean, I just, the last thing I want to say, I guess, would, you know, I have been a terrible parent. I must say, I didn't put together a one-year memory book, a two-year, like all of that. You know, you have an iPhone, all that is kind of a mess, to be honest. And now, I wish I could show you the one we filled out, because when we fill it out, it's like a memory from every day of his life. Mm. And each month in the blank pages, I mentioned that I put together, like, I print out a few pictures like from the month and I just put them in there as like a little scrapbook page. And so I just am like, I love what I like, even if I didn't decide to make it a business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that is so, I feel like it'll be so special to so many families. And, you know, whether or not this is a solution, I just, for everyone, it's not for everyone. You know, like, I think that's a challenge. That's been a challenge for me. And I think I found a way, you know, I solved my problem.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm starting to think about this, I'll plant the seed for maybe a few years down the road, is that this actually could be something that families that are together could do, because I'll just tell you, we are going through our old pictures, family pictures, and sort of sorting them out. And because we've also now, is both my parents, my husband's parents have since passed on. And so we've inherited all of their copies of the pictures from the kids and trying to sort this out. It would be nice to have this more explanation, you know, behind some of the events that went in, because we've got the pictures, but we don't have the feelings. We don't have maybe insights into those things. So yeah, I think this could be something.
I did think of that, and I wasn't going to say it, but yes. Yeah, I just want to need to change out a few things, and it's a whole new product, and
down the road.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say, I did want to, maybe something that you didn't ask that I would want to talk about is just like the whole, you know, mental health journey throughout this, because, I definitely have been struggling. Like, it's like been up and down. And, we always talk, you know, we talk to other people in like the most helpful and gentle ways, but with ourselves, we're not, you know, always, you know, we don't always do that. And, I don't really know. I don't have all the answers. I'm not together all the time. Definitely. So just, yeah, I think just finding people that, you know, I've luckily found so many supportive people that, you know, even with you, like, it helps to talk to just, you know, other people about this. I think these days we can, you know, it's okay to say that, yeah, I'm struggling, because lately I have been. It's been really hard managing like single parenting and a business and everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is important. And there's lots of resources out there. There are lots of resources, like, for instance, even on social media, there are groups for, divorced parents that you can join. Sometimes you have to be careful, because sometimes people get into really complaining too much. And you might want to, because I've looked at some of these in the past, and you want to make sure that a group that you're in is going to be more uplifting and helpful. But certainly talking to someone, I think you mentioned that you either in the past or have seen someone, but going to a marriage counselor, or it could be a minister or something, and, depending on what your religion is, it could be a life coach is good. Someone that's going to be a sounding board for you, because sometimes you just need to have someone that you can just say, oh, this is what happened, and I love my child, but he's driving me crazy, or my ex is, a little, driving me crazy too. So if you can help me find some perspective, it's useful. And it's normal to have, I think, those ups and downs too, because you're also grieving the end of a relationship. And so that's natural too, to have that. So be gentle with yourself if you're out there going through this stuff, like you said, I think is so important. Yeah. I really appreciate you being here. And I do think that this book that you have created is awesome. Oh, I know what I need to ask you, which we didn't talk about. Where can people get this book? And how can people contact you? Maybe if they would like to, talk to you, see what else you've got going on. Yeah, because you mentioned you have a blog as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Gloria. So everything is so my website and my Instagram is Home Sweet Homes Journal. So I use Instagram. I have a Facebook. I don't really use that much. But yeah, my website is both, and Instagram are both the same, Home Sweet Homes Journal.
Okay. And homesweethomesjournal.com for the website?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Because there are different extensions, so we just want to make sure. All right, cool. So I will have that in the show notes for those of you listening. And so good luck with it, and I hope you have much success and continue to get some good feedback from it. And I'd love to stay in touch and see how things go in your journey as a single parent. So. I know you're going to be good, so don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing a great job, I'm sure.
Thank you, Gloria, so much. I really needed. It's always needed, and love to hear.
Absolutely, yes, I'm happy to do so, and I want to thank everyone out there for listening and watching, and especially want to give a shout out today to Liz Kelly. She left a 5-star review and a lovely review about Live, Love, Engage on podchaser.com. And we'd love to hear comments. So if you want to leave us a review, you can do so as well. Go to podchaser.com/live-love-engage. And I would love to hear what you have to say. And then maybe I'll give you a shout out as well. So until next time, as always, thank you again, Fiona, for being here. And I encourage everyone out there to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You: How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.